Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation is recorded in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Brothers and sisters in Christ, a couple of nights ago, my wife and I drove to a restaurant in town. We ordered a bottle of red wine and dinner, and we spent a couple of hours celebrating the 30th anniversary of our engagement. Now, why was that restaurant so packed from beginning 5 o'clock until the end at 10 o'clock with reservations? Of course, it was Valentine's Day. It was very easy to get that box of chocolates. But the card with the appropriate message, not so easy. It is this time of year, of course, that Minnesota maples give up their juices, metaphorically, in a series of messages which are just sappy, and they show up on a lot of those Valentine's cards. But at least there is a tone of love. Do you mind if I talk about kissing for a moment? We've passed Valentine's Day, but it's close enough to talk about such messages. If you found a card with this message about kissing on it, how many of you would consider it an appropriate Valentine's Day message for your wife or loved one? "Kiss the sun, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, but blessed are those who put their trust in him." Psalm 2, verse 12. It was this kind of tone and message which you find Jesus really speaking to the crowd that was gathered before him, some Jews, some Pharisees, within the treasury of the temple. And before that, they've been asking him questions, tough questions. They've been criticizing him. And some Jews in the group have hearts that really are being strangely warmed by that message. But as John says a dozen and a half verses before the passage today, no one spoke openly of him for fear of the Jews. You know, the people with the hardest problem for coming out are Christians, speaking up for their faith. The Jews are asking Jesus questions and mocking him, and then Jesus gives his own Valentine, in a sense, with an arrow that must have pierced the heart of his hearers. "If you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." It's a pretty serious Valentine message. But that's the kind of barb that God's word brings with it through the law. This is a different kind of Cupid who says later to the same crowd, "If God were your father, you would love me. You are of your father, the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie," as the NIV puts it, "he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." So you have to consider that gestalt against which Jesus is operating when he begins to talk about the truth. People who are caught up in lies, our very nature is about lying. We live in a world of lies. But there are some lovers of Jesus in this group, some believers that Jesus is speaking to. And John today informs us really that many believed in him. Jesus got to a point where he really struck the chord and the Holy Spirit was working faith in their hearts. And so it is this perception on the part of Jesus, he sees this faith, which leads him then to address believing hearts. And what he says then is a message spoken really to us today as well. Jesus is in fact standing here speaking through my words as he promised he would do when the pure word of God is preached. And Jesus is then saying this to us as well as the Jews in his day. "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. This is a tremendous passage that each of us ought to begin every single day of our lives with. And it does not provide a scientific formula, but it really does provide a divine guarantee for us about what we can expect if we do so. God gives us two valuable possessions we cannot live without: truth and freedom. And the formula for obtaining truth and freedom: continuing in the Word of God. Question for you: are you in doubt or confused about truth? Are you searching the Scripture? Why not? Jesus says his true disciples continue in his word, and they find the truth in his word. You were confirmed years ago, you learned your catechism, you graduated from seminary, but Jesus asks us, are you continuing in the word? Yesterday's diet is today's and tomorrow's hippopotamus, which has come to live within our own body, if we do not continue dieting. Jesus didn't give the Bible to us that we would learn its truths about Christ once and then we just move along because we've got it all. In fact, we have memory problems. We have new problems that come to haunt us in the church, in our lives. We cannot afford to depend upon yesterday's knowledge. Have you ever read the Bible through fully? Of course we know the truths. The catechism teaches us the truth. But the Bible is filled with narratives within which those proof passages are housed. I had not read through the Bible. I had gone through 12 years of Christian day school and high school. I was 24 years old and I said, gee, I should probably read the Bible. I knew what the Bible taught in the catechism. How many of you are in the same place? Do we read it? Do we study it? Do we continue in it? Are you a divine rhetorician, a theologian of the word? Aristotle in his Rhetoric defines rhetoric as, quote, the faculty of observing in any given case the available means of persuasion. When you are a divine rhetorician, if you will, which for the Greeks was a lifetime of study, and it meant that you could stand up in any occasion and you could speak to the occasion with the appropriate words. How many of us know the Holy Scriptures deeply so that when we see those problems coming up in our lives, we have a myriad of Bible passages that come to mind because we carry our knowledge with us. It's not upon our shelf. We hear it up here in our mind, which is what the Bible clearly commends to us, to learn it by heart. So that in any situation, our lamps are full of the oil of God's word, the justifying truth about Jesus Christ, comforting us when occasions arise in our own life to affirm our faith because we have drunk deep with its wells, from its wells. Jesus commends this kind of approach to the Bible, and it's time for each of us to repent of our lackadaisical approach to the Word of God if we have not been heeding it. We know the truths, but we need to feed upon the bread of life every single day. And that bread of life, of course, is the Scripture, which points us to bread indeed, which is Jesus Christ. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you shall know the truth. What we will ultimately find in these Scriptures, and if we read them and if we continue in them, is the very same message we have today. But not just today, but tomorrow and next week and for the rest of our lives. We will find Jesus telling us about how he came to save us, how he was, in fact, the very God of the universe, incarnate in the flesh. That's who was speaking to the Jews that day. That's who speaks to us today through his word, reminding us that we are sinners, that we have salvation, that your sins are covered. That's what Christ's death was about, the season into which we are moving, reminding us of Christ's passion. And it is through that Christ then that we find truly the meaning of the word freedom. If you look at all the passages in Romans and Galatians and other places, you will always find the notion of freedom measured against the backdrop of sin. You are in bondage and you lack freedom if you have your sins. But with Jesus Christ, faith in his name, through what he did upon the cross, through what he did keeping the law for us, We have freedom. We have forgiveness. Our conscience that bothers us is told, fear not, Jesus Christ has forgiven you all of your sins. That line we've heard so many times, William Wallace in Braveheart, they may take away our lives, but they'll never take our freedom. That was spoken on a political level, but that's indeed what Jesus is saying to us today. There's not one word about Cupid or love really in this text, but the very fiber of the text is about God's highest kind of love, which is beyond that other kind of love, a love that does not leave us confused about what truth is or what real love is or what freedom is. Scripture provides us with answers to life's greatest problems, and we need to go to it and to continue in it. Continue in the Word. Our text tells us today, you will know the truth. The truth will set you free. These days, a lot of people love love. But today, Christ calls us to love the truth of His Word and to continue in it. And that is the mark of a true disciple. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you that of your great mercy you have given us your holy and blessed word, by which you also among us gather your Christian church. We humbly entreat you, grant us your Holy Spirit, that we receive your word with thankful hearts and live according to it and ever increase in Christian faith and hope and love, and at last obtain eternal salvation through Jesus Christ, your beloved Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. Now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Depart in peace. Amen.